Pickaxe.
If you like to eat stress-free and healthy, like me, you can do it this spring with Factor. They have delicious, ready-to-eat meals, everyone is fresh, never frozen, and chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 different options, including popular ones such as Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or like me, vegan and veggie. There are more than 60 add-ons you can discover every week, such as breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. If you're looking for gourmet options, there are meals that have premium ingredients, such as filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini and asparagus. And they are no fuss, no mess. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking and cleaning up. Simply heat and enjoy the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. This month, we're celebrating Earth Day. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head on over to factormeals.com/pickaxe50 and you can use code PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your second box. That's PICKAXE50 at factormeals.com/PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is going. Check it out.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
There you go, that's a little tribute to Eduard Keel there, who has died recently.
Rest in peace.
Troll, man. So that actually shows that this podcast is recent, because that only happened, like, you know, a little bit ago.
Yeah.
So it's almost like doing a little, having like a newspaper in the back of like a hostage, like to show that someone's still alive, you know?
Oh my God!
It's a bit like that. Sticking one of them in there.
Okay.
Sorry.
Blimey.
Hello, and welcome to TV.
And welcome to the Yog Pod. How you doing, Simon?
Wait, what?
This is the podcast.
The what?
Yeah, I know. It's been a little while.
The Yog Pod?
I got a phone call from Fred, who does the animations. He was like, oh no, there are no more podcast material running out. So he was like panicking because he didn't have any more things to animate.
Where's he from again?
He's from Sweden, actually.
Okay, that was a Swedish accent. Okay.
Yeah.
Of course it was.
And therefore,
sure,
we're going to start going. I thought we'd just start off talking about E3.
Right.
Because we just came back from E3. And
oh, God, yes.
Do you want to tell me what it was like, your experience going to LA and going to E3 for the first time? I think it'd be good to talk about. So go on. Run me down.
It was magical. We went to E3. We went to California.
You always start. You always start with, it was magical. Every time.
Do I? Oh, God.
Yeah. That's fine, though. It's fine. It was magical.
It bloody was as well. We visited the Getty Museum place. We visited Universal Studios Florida, which for some reason was in Los Angeles. I don't know what it was doing there. It was a bit confused. Maybe it got lost on the way.
Yep. That happens.
We got to experience rides, which made me feel quite ill. The Mummy ride, or the Mummy 2 ride, or whatever it was called. I really didn't like that, right? I spoke to the guy, he was doing the tour, and I said, look, you know, I don't like rides with a lot of movement, and I went on this ride in the dark at Disney, and it was horrible. And he said, oh, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. The worst ride is the Simpsons one. And I'd just been on the Simpsons one, and it was fine. And I was like, oh, right, I'd just been on that, I said to him. And it was fine, I said. And he said, okay, well, then you're all set. And then I was put in the Mummy, and it was horrible. I was in the dark. I was being thrown around. You go backwards. I wanted to be sick. They take a photo of you, as they do on these rides. And I looked like I was enduring this torment. You know, my eyes was crushed closed.
Yeah.
And I was like, like that. I was like the Mummy.
You were like the Mummy.
I mean, it would have been scarier if, like, a giant TV screen showed my face in the ride. Everyone would have screamed. I would have gone, and everyone watching the screen would have gone, But no, we were in the dark. It was terrible, wasn't it? It was fucking awful.
Now, I didn't think the Mummy ride was too bad. I mean, you don't...
Are you kidding me?
So you don't like things that you can't control. You know, you don't like, you know, being in a ride, like being trapped in like a sort of compartment that propels you around. But I thought the Haunted House at Universal Studios was a lot scarier, which is where we basically walked around this sort of dingy... sort of haunted house type place, and there were lots of actors kind of dressed up.
The scariest thing to me about the haunted house was the fact that I couldn't see where I was walking and there were stairs. That was the scariest thing to me in there.
Your biggest fear, a set of stairs.
Yeah.
You need to work out more. You need to do more exercise.
I'm like a Dalek. I'm terrified of stairs. I hate them.
Well, no, but that was disproved, wasn't it, in the recent Doctor Who's? Yeah, they hover, you know. They were like, stairs? Stairs! These are no problems for the Daleks. And they just went, you know...
I like how you changed the voice. You started off with, stairs? We don't like stairs! Oh, we're not scared of them! Up I go! La la la! Exterminate! Annihilate! Destroy all humans! Went a little bit Griswoldy. Little bit Griswoldy there at the end.
Oh, God, I love the Daleks.
So, yeah, and then you launched into the real Dalek voice. I like that. That was good. That's good. I'm proud of you, man.
It was good. There weren't any of that kind of stuff. It felt like Universal Studios was quite interesting because there were so many things missing from it, you know, so many big, like, film IPs, you know. It was like Hollywood, super film awesome, but there were massive chunks, like, missing, you know, because they only have certain, you know, intellectual properties that they use.
There was no Avengers ride. That was missing.
No. Did you see the Avengers? By the way,
I haven't seen it. No.
Oh wow. Okay. Good.
I don't really care. I don't really care about it. You know, it's like
the biggest viewed film of all time. It's like huge. It's massive.
And that means it's good, obviously.
This is a letter. Actually, this is a letter. I've got a stack of letters here from fans.
Do you have a bulging sack full of post
of correspondence? We've had so much correspondence
now. Yeah, right. I have a very good idea of the kind of letters that we get, and I think calling it correspondent is slightly too grandiose.
You think so?
Slightly too grandiose.
Okay, well, this is from Gregory Lechner.
Hello, Gregory.
He says, what is your favourite character from the Avengers? Were you a comic book fan as a child? Do you like reading comics? So go on, who's your favourite comic book or Avengers character?
Oh, God. Comic books. Now, this is a tricky one. I think it might be John Constantine, one of my favourite comic book characters.
Right.
He's like a Liverpudlian conjurer magician type guy who makes deals with demons and basically gets everyone he knows killed at various points of his life.
Oh,
It's a very, very good series.
Is he from Sandman? Sandman?
He is, yeah. He's the Sandman. Oh, my God.
He's from Sandman. Sandman. Basically, the Neil Gaiman.
It's Hellblazer. He's
oh.
In. I don't know if he made a cameo in Sandman. He might have done. But no, he had his own series of Hellblazer. And it was... The Keanu Reeves was in Constantine, the movie of it. And it was a bit strange because he's like blonde and he dresses like a tramp and he's like a massive alcoholic chain smoker. They kept that in, the chain smoking. And obviously he's from Liverpool. And to see Constantine brought to life in the movies as Keanu Reeves was strange. Very strange. Very strange. But I liked it, actually. I liked the movie. I thought it was faithful in the right areas. You know, the tone overall was pretty close. And, you know, it was an enjoyable movie. So that's my favourite character at the Avengers, John Constantine.
That's a very serious answer.
Thank you.
Damn, that's a good answer. So, a less intellectual question.
Mm-hmm.
How many 5-year-olds could you take in a fight? Or how many 90-year-olds could you take in a fight?
Am I armed?
No, you're like, you're unarmed.
I'm unarmed. I've lost my arms.
Yep.
They've been ripped off by hungry 5-year-olds.
Yep. Zombie 5-year-olds.
And senile 90-year-old men.
Yep.
Zombies. They're zombies.
Well, let's imagine they're zombies. Oh, God. That'll put a twist on it. Yeah. They're vicious.
It makes them easier to kill. Zombies are much easier to kill. The danger of zombies is that there's so many of them.
Right. How are zombies easier to kill?
Because you just, like, hit them in the face and their head explodes.
Right.
And goo goes everywhere. Haven't you seen a zombie movie?
I have, but played
a video game of zombies in.
I mean,
they just explode. You know, you just have to look at one and sort of do like a blue steel look.
They do seem,
you know, glare at
fragile.
Them, and they just explode.
Yeah. Mm. Like they're about to fall apart. But I don't know.
So how many zombie 5-year-olds could I take in a fight?
Or 90-year-olds.
Now, I think the 90-year-olds would be harder because, you know, they probably have prosthetics. They probably have, like, basically what I'm thinking of them, they're a bit like Wolverine. They've got, like, this metal skeleton inside of them that makes them invulnerable.
I was thinking, like, a pirate's eye patch and a fake leg, that kind of prosthetic.
I don't think they've used wooden legs as prosthetics for quite some time. In, you know, the civilised world, inverted commas.
Probably not.
I'm sorry, Lewis. We had to amputate your leg. But it's okay, because we put a table leg on it instead. We just stuck this in your stump. There we
Yar.
Go.
And now I speak like a pirate.
We stuck
after
it.
After that. Every time.
Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Pirates are like, oh, I do like sailing the seven seas. It's gone Griswoldy again. Hello, I do like sailing the seven seas.
Turn into the Daleks.
Oh, yeah, and the Daleks as well. Yeah.
God's sake.
Ah, heart me hearties. Yeah.
That was Stephen Hawking, not a Dalek.
And then you stick the wooden leg in them, or in the Daleks' case, you stick it in their head, so it's like instead of the plunger, they've got like a table leg sticking out of their head. And suddenly it's like, arr, exterminate, alienate, destroy all humans, arr, arr, me laddie.
Yes.
That's what happens to them. Yeah. Yeah. That's quite a mental image. Wow.
I mean, knowing how tough old men are from my dad, you know, I reckon my dad's like 80 almost now. Actually, I'm not sure. Maybe that's a lie. He seems 80. But when he's 90, he's still going to be a tough old, like, you know, he's been through a lot, not taking any nonsense. You know, I probably couldn't even take my dad on, you know. So I don't think I could take more than about one 90-year-old.
The thing about your dad is I think he is a superhero. I think he is a bit like Claire, the cheerleader from Heroes.
Mm.
There was that time he was pissing around with guttering on the roof and he fell off of the ladder.
He's doing that every week.
And he broke his neck, but then he got up with a broken neck and he like went with his head to straighten the neck up, and then he carried on. Oh dear, oh dear, I've fallen off of the roof. Oh, for goodness sake.
I've fallen off the roof.
I've fallen off the roof. No.
And then he fell onto one of the tables, and he got the table leg like stuck in him as like an extra arm.
Where? Oh goodness.
Oh. And then he spoke like a pirate after that.
Wow. God. That's actually what happened.
Jeez.
True.
Well,
wow, blimey. That's amazing.
Otherwise, 5-year olds, I don't know. How many could you conceivably take? Like 5 or 6 maybe? I think, you know, you could hold a couple of them at bay.
Maybe one. One on a good day.
Do you think? I don't know.
What if I'm asleep?
What, they ambush you?
Yeah. They just start, like, nibbling on my toes or something, and they turn me into a zombie.
But I think it would be more of, like, an arena-style battle. So, you know, you'd be...
What
it'd
the
be
fuck?
Simon versus 5-year-olds.
Gladiatorial combat with me and zombie 5-year-olds. Fight!
Yeah. Gladiatorial.
You know how it would end?
Yeah. There you go.
Mummy, can I listen to the yoke pod?
Fuck off.
Mummy, no.
So, obviously, that's J.K. Rowling and a child.
Well, that was a good question. Thank you, Gregory. He's actually sent another one here. Simon.
Oh, great.
Do you believe in ghosts or haunted spirits? And would you stay in a haunted house for 100 pounds? So 100 million pounds. Would you stay in a haunted house for 100 million pounds? Not like a haunted house for Halloween.
Right.
Or like the one at Universal Studios.
Wow.
Added that in. But like a haunted house that's on the edge of a crevasse that falls straight to hell, where you must watch Satan sitting on the toilet, and the house where the housewife brutally murdered her child and stuffed them in the chimney. Now,
what?
That's a strange paragraph.
That is.
Which I hadn't read before, but now I've read it, I feel like I sound like a lunatic. Let's analyse this. So, not a normal haunted house, but one on the edge of a crevasse that falls straight to hell, where you must watch Satan sitting on the toilet, and the house where the housewife brutally murdered her child and stuffed them up the chimney. Now, maybe she was in a sort of arena fight against 5-year-olds.
Maybe.
They turned into zombies. They were killed. They were stuffed up the chimney, and their ghost is all dressed up really smart in like school uniform.
Oh, creepy.
And he's actually haunting the house, and he wants to kill you. Would you stay there for 100 million pounds? Yeah. For 100 million pounds.
I don't know, because if I would die, you know, if a ghost would kill me, I don't know if I'd really be in any danger. I mean, maybe I would go crazy, in which case, you know, 100 million pounds wouldn't do me any good, because I'd be mad. I'd spend it all on the real money auction house in Diablo.
Who's putting up this 100 million pounds anyway?
I don't know. A crazy billionaire, you know?
Okay.
He's lost his mind and, you know, he just wants to fuck with people, basically.
Okay.
Maybe he gets, you know, hundreds of people every year to do stupid things just to entertain him.
So he's not even interested in this. It's just, you know, something whimsical for him. So, you know, tell me what's happening. So you pull up to this house.
So the taxi pulls up, and, you know, the man, the taxi driver, he says, you know, £17.40, mate. And I'm like, okay, £17.40. I look in my wallet. I've got, like, about £8 in cash, but I've got my card on me. And I say, you know, I've only got £8 in cash. Can I pay by card? And he just sort of, he goes like, it's an extra £2 if you pay by card. And I say, well, I don't have enough cash. And he says, are you sure you don't have a 20? And I look in my wallet and I'm like, no, I've only got that. And he says, okay. So I have to pay an extra £2 on top of the £17.40 for the fare. But also, I feel like I should leave a tip. Now, this is awkward because £17.40 plus the £2 charge for using a card is £19.40. And what I did, without even thinking, right, I said £20. We'll round it up to 20. And he looked really angry during it. And I thought it was because of the hassle of doing the card thing. But it turns out I only tipped him 60 pence. Now, I didn't even think, I didn't realise because I thought I was rounding up.
£17.
Yeah, yeah. But of course, I only tipped him 60p. And, I leave, the taxi driver and he drives off and he looks really pissed off. And it's only when he drives off that I realise, that I've only tipped him like an insultingly small amount of money. If I had just paid the £19.40, then he probably wouldn't have thought much of it. But the fact that I tipped him such a small amount of money, that was an insult. It's like when you have a meal and you leave like 5p in change instead of, like a fiver. It's like, this is terrible. It's, 5p.
That's terrible. God, that is terrifying. Absolutely. I mean, this is a terrifying story already. I mean, typically in horror films, the taxi driver is like, oh, I'm not sure you want to go over to the old Wilson place, Well, are you sure about it?
No, he'd never been there before.
Had he never been there?
He didn't know anything about it. He's not a local taxi driver. I wouldn't have gotten a local taxi driver. I got him from Bristol. He drove all the way to this place, which is why the fare was, so much.
Oh, right. Well, it can't have been that far if it was only £19.
Well, the fare was £17.40.
I mean, £17.40, it can't... So how far is this place out of Bristol? I mean...
It was only a couple of miles, I guess. But, it's a big area around here. And he obviously wasn't from this part.
Right.
Maybe it was up north of Bristol and he's from the south of Bristol. Maybe Devon or Somerset or somewhere.
But surely, rumours of this haunted place would have... gone around amongst the cabbies and they would have, told each other, oh, be careful of the old Wilson place. It's haunted, terribly haunted.
No, he didn't seem to have heard of it.
He'd never heard of it.
I mean, it took us a while to get going because, I said, I'm going to the old Wilson place. And he said, sorry, mate, where's... And I said, the old Wilson place? And he said, I don't know of it, mate, sorry. And I had to... check the email I got from the invite and get the postcode so that he could put it into the GPS. But he didn't really know how to use the GPS, so I had to enter all the things for him. So I had to go through, set destination 2, set the postcode BS, whatever it was.
So he didn't even really know.
He had no idea. He got no idea. And of course, I go through all this trouble and... In the end, I only tipped him 60p. Maybe he thinks that I was so pissed off at having to enter all that stuff and pay the extra £2 that, I only gave him that tiny tip.
Wow.
And that weighed so heavily on my mind, for the whole evening that I spent in that haunted house that it didn't really bother me, all the ghosts and stuff, because I was just sat there. At the kitchen table, there was like a severed head of a child rolling by on the counter. And all I could think was, I only tipped that guy, 60p. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have to get a taxi back from this place. Mm. What if it's the same guy?
Oh, God.
I mean, again, I've only got £8 cash on me. So I'm going to have to pay by card again. And it's going to be about the same amount.
Well, you can't call a local taxi driver because, they're not going to come.
Well, I ain't got the number for a local one. I only got the one for the one in Bristol on my phone. And I ain't got much of a signal here. So, I don't want to piss around and start ringing at all these different cab places. So, and by morning when I leave, I might only have like 8% battery left on my iPhone. So, And all of this was troubling me so much that, I barely noticed the walls bleeding and, you know, the skinless cats crawling across the ceiling.
And Satan just having a shit in the bathroom.
Yeah, there's not many... There wasn't many windows facing the crevice, so, you know... He may not have been there taking a dump. I assume he's not taking a dump 24 hours a day.
Well, I don't know. Maybe...
Maybe he eats a lot of eggs.
We don't know.
In hell. He's constantly... Wow. And cheese.
Possible. He's constantly on visiting the bathroom.
Cheese omelettes. He eats too many cheese omelettes in hell.
Very, very possible. Well, there you go.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Gregory, for that that letter.
I feel like, you know, I know him. I can call him Greg.
Sure. Crikey. Well, that was an adventure. good. Okay. So, shall we move on to the next one?
Sure.
This is from Arcturus Iducus.
Right.
Also known as Arthur. We'll call him Arthur for short.
Hello, Arthur. Hey, Arthur.
He says, hello, I've made up some cool questions for you to discuss. If you could leave 5 rules or 5 wise sentences for your ancestors to read 350 years later...
Now, where is he from, Lewis? Is he Indian? Is he Chinese? Is he Norwegian? I've got no idea.
He's multinational.
Okay.
If you could leave 5 rules or 5 wise sentences for your ancestors to read 350 years later, what would they be? So 5 rules or 5 wise sentences for your ancestors to read. So if you could impart your knowledge from the past... Like, you'd have to time capsule. So almost like, I mean, this would be your great-great-great-great-great-granddad leaving you a message, right? What do you think he would leave you? And, you know, what do you think you would want to leave him? Your great-great-great-great-great-grandson.
I would say, be excellent to each other and party on.
Wow.
Dude.
Okay, one.
That would be one.
Be excellent to each other and party on. Is that a quote from Bill and Ted's Most Excellent Adventure?
It is. Yeah, it is.
Very wise words.
Exactly. And I think it bears repeating. And it's something that should be remembered.
Whoa. Man. Be excellent. Okay, it's good.
Wow.
Number two.
Don't eat the yellow snow. I think that's a very important lesson.
Oh. That's a proverb. I mean, that's going to be, you know...
It's like something you'd find in a fortune cookie, isn't it?
Yeah.
That one.
I was thinking of something more personal, you know, something that you've learned from in your life, rather than sort of these catchy, you know, okay. things that sort of throw away lines. So I was thinking of something a bit more...
So that's two universal, well-known... pearls of wisdom, and
yeah,
the remaining 3 should be based on my years of experience.
Yeah,
okay, I've got a good one. Make sure everything's dead before you loot. I think it's a very important one. No mid-combat looting, because that's just rude.
Okay. Right. Very useful if in 350 years' time there has been some sort of post-apocalyptic war.
Yeah.
And, you know, your great-great-great-great-grandson is, you know, a scavenger in a kind of Fallout-esque world. You know, make sure they're dead before you loot their corpses, yes. It's a good bit of advice.
Although,
solid.
Actually, if you think about it, right, if you're being attacked by, you know, a bunch of mutants and you kill a couple... And there's more coming towards you. What if the mutants had, like, guns and stuff on them? Surely you'd want to loot the guns to shoot the new mutants that are coming.
Mutants. Are they cows?
So I don't know if that's... I don't know if that's good advice anymore.
Mutants. Well, but you have to take every piece of advice with a pinch of salt and measure it, judge it, you know.
Should be taken with a cellar of salt.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. That's a good one. I like that. I think that that's practical. It's applicable to many circumstances.
It certainly is.
If the world has, you know, turned into a bad situation. Okay, go on then. So imagine instead that, you know, these guys, the world isn't post-apocalyptic, though. I think we should try and do a catch-all. So imagine that this sort of a Back to the Future world with jetpacks and hoverboards and floating billboards and future crime, that kind of stuff. Like, you know, Minority Report meets Terminator meets the Jetsons.
Wow. That would be the best movie ever, first of all. That would be incredible as a crossover. Oh my God. Wow. Not a dystopian future, but more of a utopian future society.
Yeah, yeah, where you can get in your little space car and drive up to a takeaway like burger joint that's like in orbit, and you can like party and drink wine out of like a bubble.
No, you'd drink it out of a pill, wouldn't you? You'd just have a pill and that'd be a bottle of wine.
Or you'd have like a little drip of water on it and it would like swell up to the size of a bottle of wine.
Wow, a dehydrated bottle of wine.
Yeah.
In pill form. That'd be incredible. Okay, well, in that case, some very wise words of advice. Keep all of your food pills in waterproof packaging. Because there's nothing worse than going down to Sainsbury's on a rainy day. Other food supermarkets are available. Going down to Sainsbury's on a rainy day, and you don't take a bag with you, and you walk out with like a fistful of pills, the rain hits it, and suddenly there's a magnificent feast all over the pavement.
Yeah, there's just like a whole roast chicken like just springs out of your pocket, and you overflow, and you're like covered in steaks,
There's like a roll of a truckle of cheese just rolling down the hill.
Sausage rolls just spill out of your breast pocket.
Oh, the sausage rolls everywhere. Oh, goodness. So, yeah, always keep your food pills in waterproof packaging.
Okay, so that's number four. Good.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Less applicable if it turns out that, you know, there's an apocalyptic sort of scenario and everybody is scavenging.
Depends how, you know, how long that scenario is, though. I mean, if it's a future apocalypse, they may well have food pills before the apocalypse. So, you know.
That's a good point, actually. So it
could
may still
be relevant. They could be both useful, be relevant.
Yeah. I'm a man, and when I'm not having a pint in the pub or working on shipbuilding site, I listen to Yogpod.
The final one.
I think it should be something to do with, you know, future work, future love, something like that, where, you know, in the future, you know, relationships may have changed. We may have changed. We may be living for hundreds of years. You know, medicine might be keeping people alive. We all might be inside machines as well. Our brains might have been sort of transplanted out and put into computers. So we might be having these sort of virtual... We might all be living in a virtual world, you know, like the Matrix, or it might be, you know, like something crazy.
Cyberspace. We would be living in cyberspace.
It's the new frontier. You know, it might be like something out of Doctor Who, like your face just gets stretched over a vat of goo, and you're like actually just a big wobbly vat of goo with your face and a computer in it.
Wow.
I don't know.
That sounds amazing.
So what would you give advice to people if they were in that sort of, you know, cyberpunk future? Is there anything you'd say?
Oh, my God. That's quite a complicated scenario that you've sort of laid out there. And I don't know whether my life experience and things I've learned during it would be terribly useful for that. If you're going on a long journey, make sure you bring wet wipes with you. Because cucumber ones are quite nice. If you need to freshen up, it's almost like taking a shower. You feel so much better afterwards.
There you go. Magic. That is a great bit of pearl of wisdom. That's a pearl of wisdom. Well done. You've picked it. You've picked the cherry off the tree.
I've picked that cherry off of the cherry tree, and I've put it on the delicious sundae of wisdom.
If you ever go on a long journey, get yourself some wet wipes. Absolutely.
Get yourself some wet wipes.
Why not?
You dummy. Come on. What are you playing at, you dingus? For your health.
And that would work. That would work. I mean, you could use it to, like, wipe down your input plug, you know, on your forehead or wherever you plug your computer into.
My dirty input hole.
You could use it to, you know, when you have to jack in, you could wipe that down. Lovely.
Wow.
Lovely.
You're disgusting.
Absolutely. So there you go. So, yeah, that's good.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Arthur.
Thank you, Arthur.
Thanks.
That was a magical
smile.
So next we've got a letter from Ben Lane.
Lane?
He sent us quite a few questions.
Hello.
Is he related to you?
He might be. He might well be.
Maybe.
My cousin Ben.
He says, Simon.
Ben.
Love you. Love your stuff.
Oh, thank you.
You're amazing.
Oh, so are you.
All hail the Derpy Bird. This might have been from a while back because that Derpy Bird was quite a while ago.
Yeah, bloody hell. It's from last year.
If you could travel back in time and only change one thing, what would you change? So you could go back. You could go back proper far. So I mean, don't
proper far.
Yeah, don't just splurge the answer out. Don't say, "Oh, I'll kill Hitler." Right? You need to think, you know, more deeply about it.
Okay.
Okay. You need to think, okay, you've got your own past, you've got your own ancestors, you know, you could change the way, you know, you could make yourself king, you could make yourself rich, you could, you know. Also, you can go back way far. You can go back to, like, dinosaurs, or Jesus times, or whenever.
I think I would go back in time and kill Hitler.
Oh, no. Why would you kill Hitler? No. Okay, that was a joke. Good.
I'll tell you what. I would go back to Jesus times, as right. You said, so poetically, and I would save Jesus, right?
Right.
I would stop him from dying, from being crucified.
Now, how would you do this?
So then he wouldn't have died for our sins.
Oh.
So we would all be damned.
Oh.
Everyone from then on would be damned. And I would laugh. And I would then carve in the side of a mountain a giant troll face.
Wow.
And I would invent the phonograph and I would record myself singing the Trollolololol song. And I would bury it. In the mountain.
So, I mean, okay, I want to know how you would infiltrate Jesus times and, like, how you would then raise, like, how you would basically get Jesus down off the cross.
I would disguise myself as a Roman centurion.
Okay.
And what would happen is I would hide and wait until a Roman centurion walked by, and then I would, like, bang him on the head, and then drag him into a closet, remove his clothing, remove my clothing, fool around with him a bit, then put on his clothing, dress him in my clothing.
Right.
And then I would come out dragging his still unconscious body, and I would say, "Hey, everyone, I've caught a Jew that's claiming to be Jesus." And they'll go, "What? But we've got Jesus here." And I go, no, this is the real Jesus. That's just some guy you've got there. And then I would do the old swapsy.
The switcheroony.
And I would take the real Jesus and I'd swap him for this guy. And I would then take Jesus with me and I'd say, "Shh, don't, if anyone asks, your name is Dave." And
hang on. He'd have to have a Latin name. So he would be like, Davidos, or Davinos, or something like that, or Daviticus.
I don't think he was Roman, so he wouldn't have spoke Latin or had a Latin name, unless you mean like Latin as in Latin American.
Oh.
He would be Eduardo.
Edward. Sure. So you spirited him away, do you, to a secret hidey hole?
Yeah. And I would raise him as my son. And we would be very happy together. It'd be really cool because I would get him to turn water into wine. But I would do it in, like, farms. So all of the livestock would just be drunk all the time. So all the cows would be pissed up on booze.
Right. So you do, like, prank miracles.
Yeah. I would prank miracle people. I'd basically sort of, like, I would hold Jesus' hand and I would sort of wave it around and random miracles would happen. That's how I imagine it would work. So I just sort of wave his hand around. And he'd be like, no, what are you doing, Simon? I'd be like, ah. And, like, there'd be a leper on the floor and I would sort of, like, wave Jesus' hand and the leper would be cured. And I'd be like, ah, I cured you. Ah, how do you like that? And he'd say, thank you very much. And then I'd wave Jesus' hand again and all of the water in his body would turn into wine and he would die instantly.
Oh, my God. I thought he might turn into a giant fish.
What? Why?
Well, like, because the...
That's interesting reasoning. If you turn a man's body...
Well, no.
Right, if you turn all the water inside of a man's body into wine, he turns into a fish. That's what...
No.
How does
Jesus
that work?
Jesus has, like, a number of miracles.
I mean, you were a scientist. You studied chemistry. Maybe that's what happens. Is that what you did in your labs? You turned men into fish.
No, but didn't... I mean, Jesus had the power to, like, walk on water. That was one of them. And he also had the power...
Does sushi come from hobos?
Wow.
Is that what happens?
I don't think so. So, the second thing he did was that he did the miracle with the loaves and the fishes, didn't he? Because he could, like, make...
True, yeah.
And that's as far as I know. I think there were others, but those are the ones that stick in my mind.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what I'm saying is if you did wave his hand around, you know, the random miracles...
He brought a guy back from the dead as well, Lewis. Don't forget that one.
Or maybe he could just bring the leper back from the dead again, then. A really alcoholic zombie leper.
Oh, my God. Why would he suddenly become an alcoholic? That's what I don't get. Because he's...
Well, because he's got... His blood is wine.
His blood is...
Yeah.
His blood is wine, so he'd become an alcoholic. I don't know. I don't know about
But he'd
that.
Have to be, wouldn't he? Because he'd have to keep replenishing it with fresh wine.
Like a vampire. He would be like a vampire, only with wine.
Hello. I am Her Royal Highness, Queen Elizabeth II. And this York pot... is by royal appointment. Hello, hello, hello. One fancies a Jaffa cake.
This is a letter from Michael Hanrahan. He asks, Simon, if you had the chance to crossbred or splice animals together... Actually, I think he wrote slice. Crossbred or slice animals, that's making me hungry, together to create an awesome or demented sandwich thing.
Ham and beef.
What animals would you choose? Wow. Yeah, I mean, he's answered his own question, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So if you had the chance to crossbred or slice animals together to create an awesome or demented animal, what animal would you choose? So minimum animals 2, maximum animals 5. So you can actually blend multiple things together.
It's very specific.
Imagine
isn't
you've
it?
Got like a what's your favourite kind of sandwich?
Okay, so pig and cow and chicken. Pig, cow, and chicken straight away.
Right. So pig, cow, and chicken. Do you like having that in the same sandwich? Do you like having bacon, like beef and chicken together in a sandwich? Isn't that a bit?
I think
is that a bit crazy.
Is it pastrami, the thin beef?
Yeah.
Thin sorted beef. So pastrami. Sausage and fried chicken in a sandwich. Tell me that doesn't sound delicious.
Well, it does, but...
Corned beef, ham, slices of chicken.
Well,
There's only so much you can do with chicken, isn't there? Let's be honest.
But the thing is, we could always blend it with a little bit of lettuce as well and a little bit of tomato. Like, you know, we could splice the genes of some animals in, some vegetables in there as well, fruits.
Bacon, roast beef, and and chicken.
I love the way you're just repeating that over and over again. You're not interested. Your answer is the most delicious animals, whack them together.
Yeah.
Do you not think it would be good to like use anything a bit more exotic though? I mean, you know, like something like ostrich or dodo or like dinosaur like tiger or rhino.
Dodos must have been very tasty though.
Dodos were apparently absolutely delicious. Yeah.
Which is why they're all gone, because we ate them all. That's literally what happened. Dodos were so delicious, we ate them all.
I don't think we ate them all. I think dogs ate them all. Dogs liked them a lot as well, and we sort of introduced dogs, and they didn't have any, you know, natural predators on Madagascar or wherever it was, and therefore they all just got nommed up by the wild dogs. I think that's a rumour. That might not have actually happened. Citation needed. But yeah, I'm thinking more of a club sandwich. Okay, so I was thinking, you know, like chicken and bacon, but then like, you know, avocado, maybe whack that in there as well.
It's not an animal, is it, the avocado? You don't see a herd of avocado in a field, do you?
Well, no, but if we're splicing animals...
Let's have a bit of rocket in there, bit of arugula, or whatever it is they call it in America.
Listen, if we're splicing animals together, let's add a few veg as well. Let's balance it.
Stick a cucumber up a pig's ass and you'd be fucking happy, wouldn't you?
Let's have a little bit of arugula.
There you go. That's not crossbreeding an animal. Just sticking a vegetable into another animal. That doesn't work. Also, we got... Right?
Well...
We've done it. We've already done it. There's no need to talk more about this. We got chicken, cow, pig, right? Chickawig. The most delicious of animals. The chickawig.
Chickawig. Okay. Now, I still think that you're missing something. I mean, there's all sorts of lovely meats out there, like kangaroo or buffalo or those little hamster things, like those big hamsters, deer. You know, this rabbit.
No, let's go back.
What?
Those big hamster things.
You know what I'm talking about. The big hamsters that they eat in Mexico and places like that. The Incas. The
big hamsters they eat in Mexico?
Yeah, they eat massive hamsters.
Rats?
What are they called? No, they're bigger than that. They're like the size of...
Guinea pigs?
They're like... No. They're like the size of like smaller than a cow, but bigger than a pig. No, they're about the same size as pigs.
Capybara.
Yeah. Capybaras. There you go.
Oh, my God. Oh, people eat massive, them.
Delicious.
I didn't know people ate them.
Of course they do. They're like lovely.
Are you sure about this? Are you absolutely sure that people eat them?
I'm pretty sure they get eaten. I'm pretty sure they're quite tasty. Yeah.
Well, that is messed up.
Well, what else would you do with them?
They're like big, friendly hamsters. I don't know. You could keep them as pets in a really big wheel. You know, they run around in.
That's what they use
like a water
in like
wheel.
South America to power their electricity. The giant hamsters.
Wow.
Do you not think that blending something like that, you know, I mean, we don't, you know, you can't just be crazy. We'd have to do our research, you know, we'd have to find out what the most delicious
so
things
you want
are.
To,
what?
You want to crossbreed a capybara with an avocado. So what you want to do?
Well, I mean, they're basically the same shape already.
What a delicious sandwich that would be. Capybara and avocado.
God, that sounds amazing. I'm starving right now for that. Of course.
I think I can give that a miss.
I'll
give that a miss quite
we've
happily.
We've overlooked a big part of this. You know, a big part of it is, you know, breeding together sort of the ultimate battle animal as well, you know, or breeding together, you know... other sort of things that would benefit mankind in some way.
How do we breed these things together? Do we, like, take them out on a date? Like a capybara and avocado? We have them watch Twilight Breaking Dawn together. And, like, go out and they have a meal lit by candlelight. And then we skip forward a few hours. They're in, like, a hotel. There's a hot tub. You know, they're drinking champagne. It's in, like, the, you know, bucket of ice. There's rose petals on the bed. The capybara's, like, eyeing up that avocado. The avocado's, like, sort of shivering with anticipation.
How? Oh God! I don't know. I don't like where this is going. Is it going to end up with the avocado being
shoved? We know where it's going.
Up? Oh my God!
Oh my God! Wow! You don't have to be so blunt.
Wow!
Look, Lewis.
What?
When a capybara and an avocado love each other very much.
Yeah. Go on.
Something magical happens.
Something magical happens, and we're back.
9 months later, out of the avocado pops a little baby...
Capicardo. Capicardo.
It's called a what?
Capicardo. It works.
A capicardo.
That's beautiful.
A capicardo.
Yeah.
It goes...
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Hurt my own ears doing that.
Now, okay. Here's another thing.
Right,
you know, you've been eating fruit salads, haven't you? You quite like a fruit salad. I've seen you buying them.
Yeah, I like a fruit salad.
Across the road. Now, if you could blend together, you know, splice together all the fruits in that fruit salad to make, the, you know, the ultimate fruit, you know, what would that be comprised of? And do you think that would be a good idea? Or do you like having sort of the five different fruits in there than eating sort of mouthfuls of the different combinations? Do you have a sort of a preferred...
Well, I don't eat mouthfuls of all the different fruit. I don't like eat it all at once.
Well, I thought the idea of a fruit salad was that you ate like multiple bits of different fruit at the same time. You didn't have like one blueberry at a time.
You don't like shove like a bit of apple, a bit of, you know, banana, a bit of strawberry, a couple of blueberries.
That's what I do.
A bit of melon, all in your gob at once.
Yeah,
are
you
do. Are you kidding me?
What's
wrong with you?
Well, you're... But you're not one of these people.
This is very healthy for you.
It's nice because you get all the different flavours in. Are you one of these people, like Hannah, who like has like, you know, like meat, potatoes and beans on their plate, and they'll eat all the beans first, and then they'll eat all the potatoes, and then they'll eat the meat last. You're not like
that.
That
is weird.
Are you?
I'm not like that.
But
you say
you wouldn't like combine them a bit. You wouldn't have a little bit of beans with a little bit of steak or a little bit of, you know, a little bit of mash.
Well, yeah, I do that. But with a fruit salad, I think it's nicer just eat, you know, a piece of apple and then eat a bit of pineapple. You don't shove a pineapple and a mango in your mouth and go, mmm, mmm, mmm. I think that's a bit weird.
No, it's not. That's what I do. I mean, in any case, do you prefer that?
What do you think, listeners? Should we have a vote on this? What? On the forums?
On whether
somewhere?
We create a fruit, which is like all the ultimate
on whether,
fruits combined.
How do you eat fruit salad? Is Lewis crazy? Am I the one that's totally misguided?
Which is the order to which you would eat the fruit salad as well? So where do you start with the fruit salad? Do you start, you know, with the kiwi or with the watermelon or with the pineapple? I'm interested to hear this.
I don't know, actually. I think I'd probably go for some blueberries and maybe a bit of kiwi first.
Right.
Because they're sort of not so strong flavours. And then you leave some of the stronger flavours for the end.
Right.
Like pineapple, which is a very acidic, strong flavour. I think it's quite good to leave that to the end. So you start off with softer things and then you go to more extreme tastes. I think that's generally a good way to do things when you're eating.
Do you think people should try and blend stuff together to like make fruits that are, you know, like orange and cranberry? You know, because you get that quite commonly, you know, these common fruits that are blended together.
As a juice.
Yeah, like as a juice. Mm. So do you think they should actually try and make those...
Raspberry and cranberry would be incredible, wouldn't it? It'd be a very tart fruit, though, wouldn't it? It'd be a very tart fruit.
Very tart.
A fresh, tart fruit.
Careful, your false teeth are about to fall out, I think.
What about strawberry and banana? What about that? What would that look like?
A straw banana.
I mean, they're two very different fruits.
I guess it would be just...
I'm not sure how it would work.
Just be like a slightly fatter red banana.
Would it have a peel on it, though? Would the seeds be on the outside or
well,
in the middle?
Well, you can always customise. You can customise. You know, genetics is all about choosing the elements you want. So, I mean, you could just have the banana looking like it is, but it tastes like
can I have
like
it in the shape
banana.
Of the baby?
Wow, like a jelly baby.
The stranana. The stranana would be its name. The stranana in the shape of a baby, infant, child.
Well, like a jelly baby. Or are you talking about in the shape?
Like an actual baby, the size of a baby and the shape of a baby. And when he eats it, it cries.
Oh, my God. Okay. So what you're suggesting
it cries apple juice.
I don't want to know what it pees and poos. Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. Pineapple juice.
Oh, of course. And chocolate milkshake.
You got to put a little diaper on it, and then you squeeze the diaper and pineapple juice comes out.
Wow.
Oh, God.
What is... Oh. That is genetic splicing gone wrong.
It started off the tastiest fruit, and now it's like the grossest fruit. Why did I say the shape of a baby? What's
that?
That
is really weird. I mean, that's... Oh, dear.
Oh, amazing.
That was a terrible, terrible suggestion. Oh, well, I was very hungry, and now no longer.
You don't fancy a stranana?
Stranana. Oh,
why
no.
Are you eating me?
That is horrible. That is so horrible.
You're so tasty. I can't help it, stranana. I can't help it.
Why?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
Jesus,
fuck.
Stop.
That is messed up. Wow.
Stop. Oh, dear.
This has been the Yog Pod.
I don't really want to leave people with that sort of bad taste in their mouth. But yeah,
it's not bad taste because strananas are so tasty.
You've been listening to the Yog Pod, episode 42, which was produced by the Yogs cast and starred Simon Lane and Lewis Brindley. It was edited and mixed by me, Sparkles, who also wrote the cheesy background music you can hear right now. I've got to go, because I'm not supposed to talk to strangers. Bye!